Today, we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi. It's actually last Thursday, but as we know, the bishops have moved some of these feast days onto the following Sundays to facilitate attendance. And so, we celebrate it today, and it's one of the great feasts of the year, but maybe more important now than ever. This feast day was started in eastern Belgium, in the city of Liège, in the 13th century. They began to have processions in honor of the presence of Christ in the Eucharist around this time of the year after Pentecost. And it soon spread to the whole church because the Mass in the Eucharist, as Vatican II says, is the source and summit of our spiritual life. And so it's obvious why that would spread so quickly and become such an important universal feast in the whole church. But maybe it's so important today for another reason. Maybe for just the opposite reason. In 2010, before I had to give a homily at this Mass of Corpus Christi, I decided to go across the internet, maybe find different things, the different ways of celebrating throughout the world, mention some of these things and so on. As I was going through different articles and pictures and so on, I came across a study. And what a Catholic university had done on the East Coast is they had sent their students out to large churches in the big cities along the East Coast, Washington, Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York, Boston, and so on. And they stood outside the churches as the parishioners were leaving Mass on a Sunday. And they asked them, these are the ones who attended Mass, not the ones who never come, but the ones who attended Mass. And they asked them if they believed in the true presence of Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. 67% said no. And so that brings us to the importance of our feast today. Because if we don't believe in one of the most core aspects of our faith, where are we? And this is something that Paul VI warned about. He said that if communion in the hand ever became very commonplace, that the true faith could be lost and doctrine would be perverted. And he said that in 1969. And so we're seeing that happen. Very prophetic, what he had to say. And so we come today to truly worship the Lord in His presence. He promised in Matthew 20:28, when He sent the apostles out to baptize all nations, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, He said, "And I will be with you always until the end of time." Promising that in every tabernacle, in every church, there He would be with us. And so as long as we have churches with tabernacles and priests who can consecrate the bread and the wine, our Lord will fulfill that promise. And I've gone over before the what we call eleemorphism, the proof that Jesus is truly present there. But the only plausible, which really doesn't hold much water, argument that we can say that Jesus isn't present there is we say, well, it's bread and wine before you start, and we receive it, it still tastes, looks, and everything like bread and wine, like nothing really happened. Okay, so for those of you who believe that, today you can go down to the pond here in the park, you pick up a big stick and put it in the water and look at it. And below the water it will look fatter and shorter and even bent. Then pull it out and it will be straight and the same size it was before. Now why does that happen? Because our human senses aren't perfect. They aren't all powerful. We have all kinds of optical illusions. People wreck cars every day, smash right in the person in front of them. Oh, I didn't see him. Well, how big does a car have to be to see it? And so our human senses aren't perfect. And then if I had two apples and I exposed one of these apples to high-grade radiation, and then set it next to the other one. Looks the same. Smells the same. Doesn't make any noise. In fact, if I waited 2 weeks, the one full of radiation would probably be in better shape than the other one. It wouldn't decay. And we could eat both of them, and we wouldn't notice the difference. But the person that eats the radiated apple would die, and the other person would be more healthy. And so, do we want to depend on our human senses to determine our eternal happiness? Or maybe that's why God gave us reason and will, and the ability to have faith. We were all given that supernatural gift of faith in baptism. And what is faith? Faith is my ability to believe all the good that I should believe. And we use faith on many levels in our lives. We go into a bank and we have faith that when we hand over our money, they're actually going to keep track of it. And later I can come back and ask for it back and I'll get it back and maybe with a little extra. And we have faith in that. There's no guarantee banks have collapsed. But we have faith in that. That's a human faith. So if God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, and maintains each one of us in life with every breath that we breathe, says that this is my body, and this is my blood, and I'm going to be present here for you until the end of time, shouldn't we be able to believe that? And that's why we have to cultivate our faith. And we cultivate our faith through prayer. And then when we think about this marvel of the Eucharist and the presence of God there, we think of what St. Teresa of Avila once said. She said that if we received the Holy Eucharist just once, but truly worthy, in the perfect and best of dispositions, that there would be enough sanctifying grace there to make us saints with just one reception. But yet we receive hundreds, if not thousands, of times. And I don't know if anyone wants to proclaim themselves a saint yet. And so why is it that these graces tend to be like water off a duck's back to us? Well, it may be that we lack that preparation, that good disposition, that openness of heart and soul that comes through faith. And one of the other gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is fear of God, holy fear of God. That awe, that sense of awesomeness and wonder before the austere sacrament. You know, the Lord says you need to be like children in order to enter the kingdom of God. And that's the most beautiful thing, I think, about First Communions is when those little ones come up and they kneel down to receive for the first time, they have that sense of awe and wonder in their eyes. And that's what we can never lose. And if we've lost it, we need to get down on our knees and truly pray and ask the Lord to give it back. And He will. Because He instituted this sacrament because He wants us all to be perfectly happy with Him forever in heaven. And so to achieve that, He needs to inspire in us awe and wonder before the most austere sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. And when we think about the greatness of the Eucharist, why is it so great? Well, it's the only sacrament that has four other sacraments serving it. Because before we can receive Holy Communion, we've got to be baptized. We really can't digest all of the graces there until we're confirmed. If we fall into mortal sin or have sins in our soul to truly be disposed to the graces, we need to go to reconciliation. And without the sacrament of holy orders and priests, we wouldn't have it at all. And so we have four sacraments serving one. And like I've said so many times, in human ways, what's easiest to come by, what's the most common, is the most depreciated. We don't like it. It has no value. And what is rare, what is hard to come by, that we place a lot of value on. gold, diamonds, collector's items, and so on. And so with God, it's the other way around. What is most important for us? What is the greatest? What is the most austere? What is the most wonderful? What is the most amazing? He makes the most available. His Holy Eucharist. It's available at every Mass in every church across the world. And it's free. Free in a monetary sense. But in an effort sense, in an attitude sense, it has a very high price if we want to truly appreciate it and take advantage of it. And there have been many Eucharistic miracles. In fact, there's an exposition in Boscobel going on right now. If you have a chance later on this afternoon, I think it's going to go till 9 this evening. Go up to Boscobel and have a look. The different Eucharistic miracles that have happened over the last 2,000 years throughout the church. I'm going to tell you about just one. In the 10th century, going into the early 11th century, there was a pilgrim group coming down through Italy, headed towards Rome. And while they were on their pilgrimage, one of the priests was praying that the Lord strengthen his faith in the presence in the Eucharist, because he was beginning to lose his faith in that presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And so he was praying that prayer as they went along, and they arrived to Bolsena, a small town in Italy by a volcanic lake, beautiful place. And the reason why they stopped there was because a famous martyr, St. Christina, who also had a great devotion to the Eucharist, was martyred there and buried in a cave, and there was an altar over her tomb. And they wanted to say Mass over her tomb. So they went to Bolsena, now there's a big church built right at the opening of that cave. And so they went in, they got permissions, got everything set up, and they had their Mass over the tomb of St. Christina. And it was the doubting priest who was saying that Mass. And when he raised the host after the consecration, it bled onto the corporal, stained through the corporal, the altar cloth, and even onto the stone of the altar. You can see that to this day. The corporal, even though now it's nearly 800, 900 years old, has been perfectly preserved. They haven't done anything to it. They couldn't do anything to it until the 18th or 19th century. But they haven't done anything to it. It's still in perfect shape. You can see the blood stains on it, and it's reserved in a special place in the Cathedral in Orvieto, about 10 miles away. Now on this day, every year, they take that corporal out, and they take it in their Corpus Christi procession around the streets of Orvieto. Tens of thousands of people come, not just from Orvieto, but all the way from Rome and from many places, because as the corporal passes and people say prayers have been miraculous healings, and there are some every year. And so we have a chance to cultivate our faith in the Eucharist today. At 11:30, they're going to begin the Eucharistic procession in Fenimore for Corpus Christi. Goes around the center of town. There are four different altars that people set up at their homes. As the procession comes around, we stop for a few moments at each one of these altars to say a few prayers, and then we finish in the church with benediction, and then they have their parish festival thereafter. So some prayer, and then a lot of fun, good food, and so on. So have a chance to build your faith in the Eucharist. Also, next Friday is first Friday of June. We will have all-night adoration starting Friday morning to Saturday morning. The sign-up sheets are right over here by the Fatima Chapel. Another great way to build your faith in the Eucharist.